In order, then, to pave the way for the accomplishment of my scheme, for two or three times that the young fellow came to me with messages, I managed to have him admitted to my bedside, or brought to me at my toilet where I was dressing. And by carelessly showing or letting him see, as if without meaning or design, sometimes my bosom rather more bare than it should be, sometimes my hair in the natural flow of it while combing, sometimes a neat leg that had unfortunately slipped its garter, which I made no scruple of tying before him, easily gave him the impressions favourable to my purpose, which I could perceive to sparkle in his eyes and glow in his cheeks. Then certain slight squeezes by the hand as I took letters from him did his business completely. When I saw him thus moved and fired for my purpose, I inflamed him yet more by asking him several leading questions, such as, had he a mistress? Was she prettier than me? Could he love such a one as I was? And the like. To all which the blushing simpleton answered to my wish in a strain of perfect nature, perfect undebauched innocence, but with all the awkwardness and simplicity of country breeding. When I thought I had sufficiently ripened him for the laudable point I had in view, one day that I expected him at a particular hour, I took care to have the coast clear for the reception I designed him, and, as I laid it, he came to the dining-room door, tapped at it, and on my bidding him come in, he did so, and shut the door after him. I desired him, then, to bolt it on the inside, pretending it would not otherwise keep shut. I was then lying at length upon that very couch, the scene of Mr. H.'s polite joys, in an undress which was with all the art of negligence flowing loose and in a most tempting disorder. No stay, no hoop, no encumbrance whatever. On the other hand, he stood at a little distance that gave me a full view of a fine-featured, shapely, healthy country lad, breathing the sweets of fresh, blooming youth. His hair, which was of a perfect shining black, played to his face in natural side curls, and was set out with a smart tuck-up behind. New buckskin breeches that, clipping close, showed the shape of a plump, well-made thigh. White stockings, garter-laced livery, shoulder knot, altogether composed a figure in which the beauties of pure flesh and blood appeared under no disgrace from the lowness of a dress, to which a certain spruce neatness seemed peculiarly fitted. I bid him come towards me and give me his letter, at the same time throwing down, carelessly, a book I had in my hands. He coloured, and came within reach of delivering me the letter, which he held out, awkwardly enough, for me to take, with his eyes riveted on my bosom, which was, through the design disorder of my handkerchief, sufficiently bare, and rather shaded than hid. I, smiling in his face, took the letter, and immediately, catching gently hold of his shirt-sleeve, drew him towards me, blushing and almost trembling. For surely his extreme bashfulness and utter inexperience called for at least all the advances to encourage him. His body was now conveniently inclined towards me, and, just softly chucking his smooth, beardless chin, I asked him if he was afraid of a lady, and with that took, and carrying his hand to my breasts, I pressed it tenderly to them. They were now finely furnished and raised in flesh, so that, panting with desire, they rose and fell in quick heaves under his touch. At this, the boy's eyes began to lighten with all the fires of inflamed nature. Tongue-tied with joy, rapture, and bashfulness, he could not speak. But then his looks, his emotion, sufficiently satisfied me that my train had taken, and that I had no disappointment to fear. My lips, which I threw in his way, so as that he could not escape kissing them, fixed, fired, and emboldened him. And now, glancing my eyes towards that part of his dress which covered the essential object of enjoyment, I plainly discovered the swell and commotion there. and as I was now too far advanced to stop in so fair a way, and was indeed no longer able to contain myself or wait the slower progress of his maiden bashfulness, for such it seemed, and really was, I stole my hand upon his thighs, down one of which I could both see and feel a stiff, hard body confined by his breeches, that my fingers could discover no end to. Curious then, and eager to unfold so alarming a mystery, playing, as it were, with his buttons, which were bursting ripe from the active force within, those of his waistband and foreflap flew open at a touch, when out it started. And now, disengaged from the shirt, I saw, with wonder and surprise, what? Not the plaything of a boy, not the weapon of a man, but a maypole of so enormous a standard that, had proportions been observed, it must have belonged to a young giant. Its prodigious size made me shrink again, yet I could not without pleasure behold, and even ventured to feel, such a length, such a breadth of animated ivory, perfectly well fashioned, the proud stiffness of which distended its skin, whose smooth polish and velvet softness might vie with that of the most delicate of our sex, and whose exquisite whiteness was not a little set off by a sprout of black curling hair round the root, through the jetty sprigs of which the fair skin showed. Then the broad and bluish-casted incarnate of the head, and blue serpentines of its veins, altogether composed the most striking assemblage of figure and colours in nature. In short, it stood an object of terror and delight. By my direction, however, the head of his unwieldy machine was so critically pointed that, feeling him foreright against the tender opening by which the lips of it, strenuously dilated, gave way to his thus assisted impetuosity, so that we might both feel that he had gained a lodgment. Pursuing then his point, he soon, by violent and to me most painful piercing thrusts, wedges himself at length so far in as to be now tolerably secure of his entrance. Here he stuck, and I now felt such a mixture of pleasure and pain as there is no giving a definition of. I dreaded alike his splitting me farther up, or his withdrawing. I could not bear either to keep or part with him. The sense of pain, however, prevailing from his prodigious size and stiffness, acting upon me in those continued rapid thrust with which he furiously pursued his penetration, made me cry out gently, "Oh, my dear, you hurt me." This was enough to check the tender, respectful boy even in his mid-career. And he immediately drew out the sweet cause of my complaint, whilst his eyes eloquently expressed at once his grief for hurting me. But I was myself far from being pleased with his having too much regarded my tender exclaims, for now, more and more fired with the object before me, as it still stood with the fiercest direction, unbonneted, and displaying its broad vermilion head, I first gave the youth a re-encouraging kiss, which he repaid me with a fervour that seemed at once to thank me and bribe my farther compliance, and soon replaced myself in a posture to receive at all risks the renewed invasion, which he did not delay an instant. For, being presently remounted, I once more felt the smooth, hard gristle forcing an entrance, which he achieved rather easier than before. Pained, however, as I was, with his efforts of gaining a complete admission, which he was so regardful as to manage by gentle degrees, I took care not to complain. In the meantime, the soft, straight passage gradually loosens, yields, and, stretched to its utmost bearing by the stiff, thick, indriven engine, sensible at once to the ravishing pleasure of the feel and the pain of the distension, let him in about halfway, when all the most nervous activity he now exerted to further his penetration gained him not an inch of his purpose. For, while he hesitated there, the crisis of pleasure overtook him, and the close compression of the warm surrounding fold drew from him the ecstatic gush, even before mine was ready to meet it, kept up by the pain I had endured in the course of the engagement, from the insufferable size of his weapon, though it was not as yet in above half its length. When our mutual trance was a little over, and the young fellow had withdrawn that delicious stretcher with which he had most plentifully drowned all thoughts of revenge in the sense of actual pleasure, the widened, wounded passage refunded a stream of pearly liquids which flowed down my thighs, mixed with streaks of blood, the marks of the ravage of that monstrous machine of his, which had now triumphed over a kind of second maidenhead. I stole, however, my handkerchief to those parts, and wiped them as dry as I could, whilst he was readjusting and buttoning up.